We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
All right, so if you were here last week, you should know the deal. Up on your feet, I'm going to teach you an old hymn about heaven. Old hymn about heaven. Here it goes.
There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, what a day, a glorious day, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Never stop celebrating the coming of Jesus, because he is coming.
My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here, and I just want to welcome you, everybody, to the second week of our Afterlife series. It's the middle of summer, so I know it can be warm. We got free waters back here, and they're cold. So you just raise your hand, you get one of those waters. We want you to be nice and comfortable for this sermon. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm blessed to be the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and it's a spirit-filled church that believes in the coming of the Lord. That's one of those things that should define us. It's been really convicting to me, because we've got all these things that make us a Christian, right? A belief in Jesus, a repentant spirit, being baptized, believing the Bible is the Word of God. But somewhere along the way, we have let go away the idea, the utter needs to be repeated all the time, reminded that Jesus is returning for his church. Church, how dare we ever get away from that. That is the truth. That's the truth. That's as much part of the truth as anything that makes you a Christian. If you aren't thinking every day about the coming of Jesus, let's start doing it. Let's start doing it. That's what makes us Christians. Thank you, Lord, that you're returning for us. Last week, we talked about the rapture and the tribulation. Here's a quick review. Jesus is coming back. I think I've already told you that. No one knows the day or the hour, but he will return. And we can actually know the seasons. And Jesus himself said that. Jesus will return to catch away his bride. He is coming for a bride that is ready and prepared for him. Has their garments white, spotless, without wrinkle. Christians traditionally call this event the rapture. And we disarm the whole fact that the word rapture is not actually in your Bible. The idea of the catching away, being caught up, the repare is the Greek there. It's all there. God is coming back for us. Jesus will catch away the dead and the living. Those that are in the grave, those that are alive. The promise is for both of them. And there will be a tribulation. And the tribulation is a 7-year period. And it's designed to make an unprepared bride ready through test and hardship. The key is to be ready before the tribulation. To not need the tribulation to become ready. But when we look in prophecy, in Daniel's 70th week and all of that was set up because Israel wasn't prepared to be the bride of Christ. Church, we run into the same problem. We need to be prepared to be the bride of Christ, or else the tribulation is for us to get us ready. All right. The tribulation, if you miss the rapture, then the tribulation is meant for you. But if you are a prepared bride, then the tribulation isn't meant for you. So make up your mind right now. I want to be a prepared bride. We need to be ready for the coming of Jesus. We need to be watching, waiting, longing for the return of the King. Today we're going to be talking about the rapture reward. Somebody said rapture reward. And the millennial kingdom. Somebody said millennial kingdom. All right. I want to remind you that the afterlife is a lot more than just heaven and hell. When we started this series, that was the viewpoint of most people. He's going to be talking 4 weeks about heaven and hell. What's going on? No, there is a lot more to the afterlife than just heaven or hell. It's all in your scripture. Scripture clearly tells us that before we enter into eternity, and that is an eternity either in heaven or hell, the world will go through a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. On earth, a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Just as Christians disagree on when the rapture will occur, you got your pre-tribbers there, you got your mid-tribbers there, you got your post-tribbers there, and don't ever put them all in the room at the same time, or the Lord will need to come back. All right, but there's all these disagreements about that. Well, I want to tell you that there's some disagreement over the millennial reign, when it occurs, has it already occurred, and all of that. I'm not going to be covering the different views of millennialism. I don't want to make anybody mad or offended about that. If I present a different view than what you hold, I'm happy to discuss those views, especially because it gets us to open up our Bibles and read them. I love that. Let me take you to the afterlife timeline. Jesus returns with his angels and saints. Can you see that there? Maybe look on these big screens. See that big blue arrow? Jesus returns. When does that happen? After the 7-year tribulation. It actually will end the 7-year tribulation. By the way, I'm going to be hitting a lot of scriptures that we're not going to be flashing up here, and I'm not even going to be referencing where they're found, but my notes will all be online at redemption-church.com. /sermons. So you just look for the second week of afterlife. You can download all my sermon notes right there. It will give you all those scripture references. So Jesus is going to return with his angels and saints. They aren't just returning to say hi, guys. They're returning as an army. They're returning as a force that is going to defeat the enemy. Jesus conquers. We're told in Revelation 19 that the Antichrist, also known as the Beast, and the false prophet are captured and are thrown into the lake of fire. If you don't know who the Antichrist and the false prophet is, you need to get out the book of Revelation and do some studying. They're going to be central in the the book of Revelation and the prophecy of the end time. Basically, God has his son, Jesus Christ, and dwells within a human being. And we call that Christ. Well, the Antichrist is going to be a human person indwelt by Satan. Let me give you a little hint on Satan. Satan's never had an original idea in his life. He's always looking at what God does and tries to beat him at it, tries to do it better. He tries to rule mankind better than God did. But as we're going to study in the millennial reign today, nobody rules mankind better than the Lord Jesus. No, he's the ruler we've always been looking for. So in Revelation 19, you have the Antichrist and the false prophet. They are thrown into the lake of fire. The rest of the armies who are gathered to destroy Israel. Oh, what a surprise. Satan wanted to destroy Israel. He does this time and time again. It's ridiculous. But these armies, they're destroyed by a sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. That's got to be a trippy sight. Whether that's literal or that's figurative, it's amazing either way. The word of truth that comes out of Jesus Christ is going to defeat the enemy. Can I tell you, truth defeats Satan every time? Can I tell you that the truth of Jesus, it wins the battle every time? You need to open up your good book and get that truth flowing in your life. Now, this ends the tribulation. Praise God. Jesus ends the tribulation by defeating the enemy, throwing the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. All right. The millennial reign. Here is what the beginning of the millennial reign looks like. If you will look on that timeline, it comes right after the tribulation. The millennial reign of Christ looks like this. It's found in Revelation 20, verse 1. We're going to read it together. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. Are you intrigued yet? Verse 2. He sees the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. There's a lot here. Okay, the time where he's set free, we're going to talk about that at the very end of this sermon. But I want you to get a load of this picture. This is how the millennial reign begins. Satan on a chain. That's good. The biggest enemy mankind has ever faced on a chain. Like a dog. Get that picture. Whatever he's done in your life, you know, he likes to tell you about your future and how you're going to mess up and how all he likes to tell you about your past. Literally, you can point him to his future. Right here. This is his future. It's settled in heaven already. He's going to be on a chain. And he's thrown into a place called the abyss. And we don't know a whole lot about that, but it's not a place you want to go. It's a place that God has the keys to. And he locks Satan away in an inescapable prison. He can't escape on his own power. Satan sealed away until God lets him go free. All right, so looking back at our timeline, Satan is called the god of this world. That's in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. That's what it says. He's the god, lowercase g, of this world. The true god of this world, his name is?
Jesus.
The true god of this world, his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Savior, the Messiah. He has come to earth and he's chained up the fraud. The guy who made us think, wanted us to think he was the king and the god of this world. He chains up Lucifer and chains him up into the abyss. And this is what happens at the very start of this millennial reign. I want you to notice that Christ came to earth to fight the battle at Armageddon. Some people call it the battle of Armageddon. Never does it say that Jesus ascends back to heaven. It's kind of an important thing. When Jesus ascended back in the Gospels, it's a big story. All the Gospels talk about it. Jesus comes down to earth, has the whole sword out of his mouth trick, defeats the enemy, never says he goes back to heaven because he doesn't. Jesus stays right here on earth. Now, just your head could explode at the thought of this. Imagine Jesus walking around on the earth right now. I mean, the real Jesus, not somebody that says they're Jesus. I mean, the real Jesus that saved you of your sins, the real Jesus that you prayed to and he healed you. Imagine him walking around. Let me tell you, you would not freak out about your problems as much, right? You'd take them to Jesus. Knock, knock, knock. That's what we're supposed to do anyway. That's what we're supposed to do anyway, right? Because he's just as present now. He's just as real now and near us now. But he's actually literally physically going to be on the earth. So we're going to describe the millennial reign further. Christ will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. And this is called the millennial reign. This happens before heaven and hell. This happens before eternity. Yes. Notice our timeline. This reign happens after the rapture, after the tribulation. Now, some people will have a different view with that, but most people will at least agree that this happens before heaven and hell. I believe 100% would agree with that. So let's talk about this 1,000 years. Look at somebody go, 1,000 years? What did he say? What is he talking about, 1,000 years? My gosh, that's like how long I waited at the DMV last time. All right, where do we get this 1,000 years from? And is it literal or is it symbolic? This is a big question. In Revelation 20, where it describes events in the millennial reign, we just read it. By the way, millennium means 1,000 years. In the first 7 verses of that chapter, it mentions the word 1,000 years 6 times. 7 verses, it mentions it 6 times. Now this is, let me tell you about your Bible. Your Bible doesn't repeat things unless it's really important info. Your Bible doesn't repeat things unless it's something he's really trying to cue you in on. I can imagine John writing this and he's like, it's really important. They need to know it's 1,000. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. That Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years. That all these promises and constantly it's bringing back to 1,000 years. Your Bible doesn't repeat things unless it's really important. The repeating of 1,000 years leads me to think it's going to be literally 1,000 years. All right. Also, we believe that Satan will literally be chained. I don't think that's going to be figurative. I think you can see him getting drug into the abyss. We believe that Satan is literally sealed into the abyss. And we believe that Jesus Christ is literally going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We believe that's literal, right? Be careful what you just say. Well, that's hard to believe, so that's not literal. Right? You're going to miss out a lot of promises, a lot of awesome stuff if you're not looking for the literal things. I believe these are literal. All right, so let's talk real quick about Jesus in the millennium. Jesus in the millennium. What will Jesus be doing? He's going to be here on earth. What's that going to look like? Well, here's some things. Jesus will be reigning. It's called the millennial reign for a reason. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David. And that fulfills a lot of prophecy right there. He is literally going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He will rule the world in power. He will rule the world in righteousness and rule the world in glory. His reign will usher in a time of peace and prosperity like nothing the world has ever experienced. The world is going to have peace. His reign will finally bring justice and holiness to the world. Jesus will be reigning. He will also be ruling. The Bible tells us that Jesus will rule the world with a scepter of iron. Also, some versions call it a rod of iron. Let's call it a scepter of iron. Everyone said scepter of iron. I want you to remember that because we're going to bring that back up later. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guide the entire population of the world. Not like a dictator. That's our idea of a guy that runs the world. We think of Hitler. We think of a dictator. No, not like that. Like a shepherd. A shepherd willing to lay down his life for his flock. Yeah. That's how he's going to rule this world. And Jesus will also be receiving. Reigning, ruling, and receiving. In the millennial kingdom, he will receive the glory he has always deserved. All people from every nation will come and bow at his feet and worship the King of Glory. Instead of cursing his name, men will worship him and shout his praises. In that day, there will be no Buddhists. There will be no Islamics. There will be no atheists, because the proof of God's existence is right there in front of them, and it's Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to worship him. What a day that will be.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be an awesome day. The world has never had a ruler like this Jesus. They've never had it. All human rulers are controlled by their lusts. They're controlled by their power for wealth, for self-glory, for you name it. Jesus, on the other hand, will reign in perfect righteousness. He is the ruler we've always looked for. He's the ruler you looked for in your life. He's the ruler that Israel has always looked for. The government of Israel works like this, that in the beginning they had patriarchs, and they were like the father over a household. And over time, that turned into a big mess. But Jesus Christ is the everlasting father. He was the patriarch they were always looking for. Then they turned to prophets that would relay the word of God. And that as good as the prophets were, there were some really messed up situations. Look at Balaam and all that craziness. But Jesus Christ is the prophet of all. He is the everlasting, living word of God. And then they turned to princes. They turned to princes and potentates and kings on thrones. But how did that turn out? That turned out terrible. But Jesus Christ, he's the leader they were always looking for. He is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's going to reign forever. And then at the end of your Old Testament, they turned to priests. They turned to the priesthood. And that got nasty at times. They turned away from God. But Jesus Christ, who is he? He's the priest we were always looking for. He is the high priest that always makes intercession for us. Jesus is the patriarch, he's the prophet, he's the prince, he is the priest that Israel was always looking for. He is exactly what you are looking for today. You better try him today, okay? Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. And so Isaiah 40 and 5 says this, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This is not fulfilled until the millennial reign. This is not, all the people see the glory of the Lord. Nobody can say, nah, I don't see it. They all see it. Moses, right? Moses walks up onto the mountaintop. He asks to see the glory of the Lord. He could not see the full glory of the Lord. It would have killed him. But in the millennial reign, in this time where Jesus is on the earth, we are going to get a dose of the glory of God. You want to know Jesus more than you ever had? There's more of him available than you could ever imagine. Romans 14:11 in your New Testament says this, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue confess to God. When has that happened? It's going to happen in the millennial reign. So that's Jesus in the millennial reign. It's just a little look there. We've also got people in the millennial reign. There will be people in the new millennium. These are people that made it through the tribulation period. So they actually walking around, they went through that 7 years and somehow survived it. And they're walking around going, whoa, that was crazy. And then here comes Jesus. And they're like, whoa, I just thought that was crazy. These are people that make it through that time. They will continue to live and they will populate the earth. There will be, here's some things. I'm just going to try to hit these really quick. These are some things that are going to be in the new millennium. In the millennial reign, according to scripture, there will be procreation. People will still be having children. There will also be death, but people will live longer. In fact, your Bible says in Isaiah 65 that a person that dies at the age of 100 years old will be considered a child. So, I don't know how long people live. Maybe they live a whole millennium. I'm not sure. I don't know, but there will be procreation, children born, there will be death, but people will live longer. Is that news to you? There won't be sickness, there won't be disease, or anyone born with a deformity. All of that will go. None of that will make it into God's kingdom. You see, this is his kingdom. This is him ruling and reigning, and there's healing in his kingdom.
Yes, thank you.
God will remove the curse placed upon the earth at the fall of man. We read about that in Genesis 3. Weeds started coming up. You hate weeding your garden? Thank Adam and Eve. Uh-huh. My gosh. Maybe one of the worst things they ever did to us. Crabgrass. Crabgrass is all their fault, y'all. God will remove that curse. During the millennium, there will be an increase in the productivity of the earth. There's one place where it says that the harvest will turn over in a month. Wow. Instead of seasons, like our seasons, we've got 12 seasons. 12 months. And each month is a season. So the productivity of the earth will, I think, actually it'll be what it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. I think we'll get a dose of what that looked like. It will cause, in the millennium, animals will lose their ferocity. They will lose their venom. Your Bible says that children will reach their hands into viper dens and not be bitten or die. Okay? The Bible's showing this. That it also says that the lion will eat straw. That's in your Bible. And that wolves will lay down with the lamb. There will be worldwide peace. There will be no war until later. All right? We'll get to that in a second. There will be no war. There will be free will. There will be still disagreements among people. So I want to make this clear. This is not heaven we're talking about, because there's death. There's all kinds of stuff. There's a few things that would totally... But man, this looks pretty good. This looks wonderful. I would like, man, this beats anything we've got going on. There will still be disagreements among people, but Jesus, who sits on the throne of David, will judge, and he himself will keep the peace. Who better to keep the peace than him? Yes. There will be labor, no laziness. There will be no welfare system. Nobody's too sick to work. It's a beautiful place that God has. What his kingdom is... beautiful. All needs will be provided for by the labor of men under the direction of the king. No one will steal your stuff. That's a promise in Isaiah 65. There will be no oppression, no racism, no social, political, economic, or religious oppression of any kind. There will be no IRS. Man, they just got up and started dancing in the house. There will be no IRS in the millennial reign. There will be a unified language again. Zephaniah 3:9. All language barriers will be removed. What hit us at Babel, God will reverse that curse. We'll be unified again. Unified worship. The entire world will worship the one true God. Fellowship with God will be experienced in an unprecedented degree. There will be access to Jesus. You see, you got a president. Anybody sit down with the president this last week? Nothing against the president, but any president, you put him in there. You're not just going to get a meeting with him. Anybody have a meeting with the mayor of Plano this last week? Me neither. He's kind of a busy guy. Even if you wanted one, you'd have to wait to get that meeting. You might never get that meeting. But Jesus Christ is going to be ruling the entire world, and everybody's going to have access to him. Not only can you see him face to face, not only is the very truth of God going to come out of him and go into your ears physically, literally seeing him and hearing him and touching him, but also everyone will have direct communication with Jesus from wherever they are on the world. This is crazy. We're not talking about a cell phone. We're talking about a one-on-one communication, a line straight to Jesus spiritually. On the earth. We'll look at this scripture. It's Isaiah 65 verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. I want you to get a load of this. That people are going to be over on the side of the earth, and they're going to just start talking to Jesus, and Jesus is going to hear them before they start speaking. And he's already going to start talking to them. Everyone is going to have that line of communication with Jesus. Can I tell you real quick, that sounds really awesome, but can I remind you, you have a line of communication with Jesus right now. Yeah. And we don't always hear him speak, but we've got his word. And let me tell you, he will speak to you. If you've never had the Lord speak to you, you need to get up in this altar today, because I think he wants to speak to you today. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord on that? Amen. Amen. Now this is pretty exciting. Yeah. We don't go straight to heaven here. There is a millennial reign coming, and we can see some of the attributes of heaven in this 1,000-year reign of Christ. But it is not heaven. Christ, what is he doing here? He's showing off his kingdom. He's showing off his kingdom. When he moves in the lives of Israel, he was trying his best to show off his kingdom. When he's moving in your life, he's trying his best to show off his kingdom. You ought to get a dose of that kingdom and see what that kingdom looks like. Well, in this millennial reign, every eye is going to see what the kingdom of God looks like. Everybody is going to know what kind of king Jesus is. Let's look at a very interesting scripture. It's Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. Who are those? The first three verses, you have an angel with the chain putting Satan in the abyss. And then it just suddenly, John the Revelator tells us, I saw thrones. Now there is one throne with God sitting upon it. You see Jesus, it tells us that the lion and the lamb is in that throne. But he also has other thrones. And sitting on it are those who've been given authority to judge. So who are those? There are other people in the millennial reign. I just told you about those other people and some of the things they will experience. But I want to tell you about these other people. The raptured will be in the millennium. Those that are raptured, let's look at what they're going to experience in the millennium. They're going to experience something different in the millennium than everyone else. Last week we talked to you about the rapture, the catching away of the church, the prepared bride of Christ. Those that have been raptured from earth will return to earth in the millennial reign. Those that have been raptured have it better than everyone else in the 1,000-year reign. Those people have a very special thing coming their way. Number one, Jesus returns with his angels and his saints. These are the raptured, right? You will want to receive what I'm just going to call the rapture reward. You're going to want to receive this. If you are raptured, you'll be spared the wrath of the great tribulation. That's good enough for me. Sign me up, right? That's really good. Oh, whoa, 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 all the bowls and the stuff. No. If all you got to receive was to miss out on the great tribulation, sign me up. But being rescued from that, there's more to it than that. There is so much reward coming for those that are ready. The raptured will receive crowns from Jesus. The one who wore a crown of thorns is going to bestow on us an incorruptible crown. A crown that won't tarnish or ruin. A crown that can't be taken from you. Scripture goes on to describe several crowns. I'm going to share them with you. You got the crown of life, given for enduring trials and overcoming temptation. There are some people that call that the martyr's crown. These people that have given their life for Jesus. Stephen, we read about in Acts chapter 6 and 7. He dies the death of a martyr. This guy is going to be raptured. He's going to receive the crown of life. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. The crown of righteousness is another one. This crown is a reward for faithfulness to use our gifts and opportunities in the service of the Lord for loving his appearance. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, a reward promised to elders for faithfulness in the discharge of their responsibilities in shepherding the people. It's found in 1 Peter 5:4. The crown of rejoicing. Paul speaks that people we have affected for Jesus Christ become our reward and our glory in the afterlife. Just how literal is that? I'm thinking it's kind of literal. I believe that in the afterlife, what you did for God on this earth will come back to you as a reward and a glory, a crown of rejoicing. Some people call this the soul winner's crown. Old Baptist hymn, you say, don't let me stand before the Lord without a star in my crown, I believe. It was this idea that you would receive a star in your crown for every person that you won to the Lord. I don't know about all of that, but I do know that everything you do for Christ, not one of them is going to be forgotten. What you did for him is not going to be forgotten. God is going to rejoice over it. He's going to bring glory upon you for what you did for him. Those that are raptured will be given crowns that declare their status with Jesus. Just seeing them, you know that they served Jesus, that they're in with Jesus, that they are the overcomers that we read about in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 4, we see people casting their crowns at the feet of Jesus in worship. Even though we've received these rewards for our works, we fully admit that we're saved by His grace alone. Amen. Amen. Crowns are cool, but there's more. We are invited to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. Yes. See, Jesus is ruling and reigning, but He's actually inviting those that are overcomers, those that are our prepared bride that He's taken in the rapture. He is going to invite them to rule and reign with Him. Sign me up. Let's go now. Let's do this now. I've got nothing on my schedule that's cooler than this. Sorry, babe. We've got like a dinner something later. But no, this ruling and reigning with Jesus, there's nothing cooler than this. Whatever you got on your schedule, clear it to make room for this. Amen? You're invited to rule and reign with Christ. Let's review the promises given to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. We talked about this last week. I just want to review it. These are the ones who are victorious overcomers, Revelations 2 and 3. Ephesus, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Smyrna, the one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Pergamum, to the one who is victorious, I will give some of my hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Wow. Thyatira, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. There it is. Authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter. Ding, 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 ding. Did we mention iron scepter earlier? Yes, we did. Who is going to rule the nations with an iron scepter? Jesus. I want you to get this picture. That Jesus Christ prophetically was always going to be the one that rules the world with an iron scepter. And sure enough, He is. But He is going to hand that scepter to the people He can trust. And the scepter that belongs in His hand, He will allow you to rule and reign by His side. I want that too. I want that. Sardis, to the one who is victorious, will, like them, be dressed in white. And I will never blot out the name of that person from my book at life, but I will acknowledge them before my Father and His angels. Philadelphia, to the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Somebody said, my new name. This is Jesus talking. He says, I'm going to write on them my new name. Oh, I want to talk about that so bad. I'm going to wait 1 second because I got to tell you Laodicea first. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. What is a throne for? A throne is for ruling and reigning. Nobody gets to sit on that throne except the person in charge. I will allow you to sit with me in my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Wow, there's a lot right there. There's a lot of rapture reward right there. There is a lot of reward to those that are victorious, that are overcomers, that are ready for the coming of Jesus. Those that are raptured will sit on the throne with Jesus. How close are they going to be to Jesus? They're sharing chairs. They will rule with an iron scepter. And I told you about that prophecy of the Messiah ruling with an iron scepter. But this reveals that Jesus will allow us to rule over the nations with His authority. The raptured are saved from the second death. The second death is hell. We're going to study that in the fifth week. The raptured will be fixtures in God's dwelling. He says they're going to be pillars in that temple. They will always be in his presence. Never again. You know how, man, being a Christian, sometimes you just, where are you, God? Where is this moment? Where are you? I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. We've been there, right? We go through seasons like that. Never again will you experience that. You will always be in his presence. The names of the raptured are written in the book of life, and they will have a new name from God. Now, hold on. Think about the people in the Bible that got a new name from God. Abram and Sarai became Abraham. He went from being a father to a father of nations. Sarah, she became Sarah, became a princess, became royalty. We got Peter. Oh man, he was called a little stone, but now he's the rock. We got Saul, who became Paul. These were major things. Their life completely changed. You could almost say it's like they weren't the same person after they received that new name. You're going to receive a brand new identity in Jesus Christ. You're a new creature now, but this rapture reward, it's going to be something. I don't know what he's going to call you, Jonathan. He's probably going to call you something nicer than I've ever called you. All right. I want to get to this. God's new name will be written on them. I can't wait to talk about this. I would love to talk about this. Now, God's new name will be talking on them. When was the last time God gave us his new name? When was the last time that happened? The birth of Jesus. An angel came to Mary and said, you shall call his name Jesus. Yahshua, which means Jehovah saves. Yahweh saves. And we have this Jesus who is God manifest in the flesh. And he showed us more about God than we ever knew. He blew us away with his love. He showed things we thought we understood God. But then we saw Jesus and it's like, oh my gosh, we didn't even understand it. And the more I look at him still, the more I understand God and realize God and how far I was from understanding fully God. What's going to happen in this millennial reign is he's going to reveal a brand new name. And with that, it's going to become a brand new attribute. We're going to know more about God than we've ever known before. We've got this progressive revelation where he's always showing more of himself. That is going to go to a new level in heaven. And the first people that know that name are those that are raptured because he writes his new name on them. I don't even know the depth of that, but I want it. I love the name of Jesus. I'm going to have a new name to worship. I'm going to have a new name to write worship songs about. I hope it's easy to rhyme with. People in the millennial reign will still experience death. We told you that. But not the raptured. The raptured, that does not apply to them. They have victory over death and have the right to the tree of life. Paul tells us this. He says the last enemy to be defeated is Satan. That would make sense, right? It's not Satan. The last enemy to be defeated is death. And that's why that last enemy is still standing in the millennial reign. That enemy is going to be defeated later. We're going to talk about it. But let me tell you, when you're raptured, you actually enter into eternity. You now are an eternal creature. You have a glorified body. A glorified body. We're going to be given glorified bodies. Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he received a glorified body. He was able to walk through walls. He was able to disappear and reappear. He was still able to eat. It wasn't like he was just some metaphysical swirly spirit thing. No, he was physical. He was physical. Still ate. He ate fish. You can still eat. Praise God. All right. But you're going to have this glorified body. The raptured will not be bound by the physical. We can still we'll have the best of both worlds because we can still experience physical. But we won't be bound by that. The raptured, get this, will judge angels. Say what? The raptured will judge angels. I'm not making this up. Let me tell you about angels. Psalm 8:5 says this, that mankind was made lower than the angels. Angels are better than us. That's what Psalms 8:5 says. But here is a promise to those that are victorious in the rapture. This comes from Paul, 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, you are not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? So you've got, there's going to be something that happens because mankind is lower than the angels. But in this rapture reward, when we step into that eternity place where he changes us, we're made better than the angels. We judge the angels. The Bible tells us that we're going to become like Jesus when we see him. We will be changed, for we see him as he is. The reward for those in the rapture is great. You need to make up your mind that you want to be ready for when Jesus comes. Make up your mind, church. We got to be ready. Why the rapture and why the millennial reign? Let me tell you, because God has so much more to show us. One of the biggest mistakes you can ever have is to think that you know everything there is to know about God, his word, his truth. He's got so much more to show us. And like, he's going to reveal a new name. He's going to reveal a new attribute. He's going to reveal more than we ever knew. He's going to reveal it. God gave us Jesus, and that gift revealed more than we ever knew about God. He's going to reveal more in this millennium than we can imagine. In the millennial reign, God is going to reveal a new name. Do you think that you know everything to know about God? I think I've seen people that worship in churches that look like that. I believe I've preached to some people that we're like that. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. There are some scriptures you love to quote that won't be fulfilled until the great day of the millennium. Isaiah 9:6, you quote this every Christmas, don't you? You quote it every Christmas, right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Hear these words, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We love to quote this one, but we skip right over, and the government will be upon his shoulders. The day this is fulfilled is when he sits on the throne of David, and the whole government of the entire world is on his shoulders. It goes on, it says, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace. Can we stop there? Because this is real exciting. You know, everyone else's government, my goodness, I don't care what politician you like. They don't bring peace. They like divide the country in half, right? Facebook is like a terrible place to be if you even have a political thought, because everyone's going to love you or hate you, and there's like no middle ground, right? No government on the earth has ever brought peace. God's government is going to increase in peace. That's what he's going to do. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. How about this one? You've prayed this one before. Here's something you've prayed that won't ever be fulfilled until the millennial reign. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that, and God has his will in our life, and that's great. We're trying to live out that kingdom. But his kingdom won't fully come until this day. The answer to your prayers is right here. You can let God's kingdom come now.
That's right.
God's kingdom is going to come, but here's one of the wonderful truths. You can let his kingdom come now. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God, your Bible says. When you receive that righteousness and peace and joy that only comes through the Holy Spirit, you're walking in the kingdom. And you can do that right now. It's time we let Jesus rule and reign in our life, isn't it? It's time we let him rule and reign. You don't have to wait for that day to let him rule and reign. God, please rule and reign over my family. Please rule and reign over this twisted brain of mine. God, please rule and reign over the areas of my life I'm so worried about. My finances and my future and my job and my family and my home and my car that's breaking down. Lord, reign, rule, sit on the throne of Chris Fluitt. Whatever I've got, sit, be Lord over it right now in the name of Jesus. Now, we're about to open these altars, but there is something important to share. I really can't stop this sermon. I can't stop telling you about the millennium reign without telling you this. Bring up that afterlife timeline. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released. Why does God do that? Well, I believe God has something to show us there. God is full of grace. God gives us second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He might even be giving Satan, that no good snake, a chance here. But whatever his purpose is, here's what Satan does. He deceives enough people to create an army. He goes around to the four corners, nations of the four corners, and he deceives people enough to make an army. And what does he do with this army? Remember, Satan has no original idea ever. He takes this army, he marches it around the walls of one city. What city?
Jerusalem.
He's up to his old tricks again. He's trying to destroy Jerusalem. Not a single original idea. Doomed to fail, Satan. It is here that Satan's army is devoured by fire that comes from heaven. Satan then joins his antichrist and false prophet in the lake of fire. And this is the end of Satan right there in Revelation 20. What happens at the end of the millennial reign? Very simple. Jesus wins. What happened at the beginning is what happens at the end. Jesus wins. He's victorious. What happens at the end of the millennium is what happened when he got buried in a tomb. He wins. He doesn't lose. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want him to win in your life today? Do you want him to rule and reign in your life? Do you want to just take off the mask that says, I got everything figured out? And why don't you just say, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me more. I want to know more than what I know right now. These altars are open. Please come and please pray. If you want prayer in this house, we know a Jesus that is alive and well. He can meet your needs.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.